on your part.
All right, here we go. Welcome to the On Track and Field podcast. Welcome, welcome. I'm JT Ayers, your host. And with me today is, oh man, I am so excited to talk to Brittany Rees. She literally is the best that there has ever been. It's incredible to have her on the podcast. Olympic gold medalist, four-time Olympian, seven-time world champion, indoor American record holder, and now the official jumps ambassador for Tracktown USA, Eugene, Oregon. And we're going to talk about that. But before I go on, before we get to hear from her, On Track and Field, it's the place you need to go and find anything you need. You could be the casual runner. They got your shoes. They got what you need. You could be a fan. You could be a coach dad that needs to get stopwatches and spikes for your kid. Or you could be a track coach like myself who needs to spend $30,000 on a pole vault landing system, and they will hook you up. I did actually just get one. It was 10 grand cheaper than it should have been, and it was custom made, and the CEO of On Track delivered it to my track. It's amazing. It's a family-run company. National brand, ontrackandfield.com. Check them out. Brittany, thank you so much for joining me. This is awesome.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited about this one.
Well, I mentioned it in your intro. You're the official jumps ambassador of Tracktown USA. I saw it on Twitter and I was like, we got to talk, but I'm going to be completely candid. What the heck does a official jumps ambassador even do?
So I'm really excited about this collaboration with Tracktown USA. We're trying to bring more exposure to the field events. By being an ambassador, we'll be engaging with the fans. We'll be engaging with kids. Signing autographs, just getting everybody excited about jumps and throws and field events eventually, because don't get as much hype as we need. And what better place to do that is at Tracktown in Oregon, where they love sports, they love track and field, and they're the most involved. When I was competing, the love for all of track and field was in Eugene. So, it's great to just be a part of that team and try to help bring some more exposure to the fields.
Yeah, it's nice to have a place, especially in the United States, that cares about track and field, puts money into their facility. That's not just they don't mind. They want to host world championships. They want to do Olympic trials. Yes. And there's not a lot of competition out there. And so it's nice to have people put, you know, the money where their actual values are. And to have you as an ambassador, I mean, there's nobody better for long jump than you. I mean, you've been in the Olympics as long as, my gosh, as I've been a fan in track and field, my kids have never seen an Olympics without you in it. Like, that's crazy. So let me ask you this, like, how are you continuing to be, and I know you've since retired from the event now, but how have you been so good for so long? Like, that's just unheard of. Like, what's the secret?
Growing up, I just did some crazy stuff where I knew as a girl, I was like, oh, this kind of stuff ain't normal, where I had unlimited bounce. I could dump. I could just do so many great things. I had a really good God-given talent. And I feel like putting that with hard work, having a great team around me, mental coaching, medical, the entire team around me, I think would help push me and elevate me to continue to be successful in that field.
How'd you find these people to put around yourself? How'd you find them? I mean, was that something that your college, you know, and like career helped you?
Yeah, I'll say necessarily when I first started long jumping in college, I chose Ole Miss because Coach Joe Walker also produced other great long jumpers as Cervantes Stringfellow, and he had some other people that also made it to the Olympics in long jump. So having him jumpstart my jump career. And then when he retired and I moved to California, I went with Jeremy Fisher, who's also a great jumps coach, who also has, you know, Will Clay, Chris Bernard. He helped Jamie Nieto and the high jumps. So he had the resume to be a successful jumps coach. And I just put myself around people, surrounded by myself around people that were knowledgeable. And not only was I a athlete, but I was also a student athlete to my sport. I did a lot of film sessions and a lot of studying my competitors. I mean, I'm a play basketball first. So you got to watch film on yourself and who you competing against, or some of the greats that I watched. growing up, compete, and just want to be successful, and just became a real student to the sport.
I love hearing when like the best in the world still have people they look up to. They're still influenced
Oh, yeah.
by people.
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean, that's to call yourself a
Yes.
student of the game. I mean, that's
Oh, my God.
it's I
There's
mean, it's
tons of people out
fantastic to
there.
hear. I, by the way, your Twitter is so fun to follow, especially with the WNBA stuff. You are all over the place. It's so fun. But one
Yeah.
thing you have said is you're like, I'm gonna coach. I'm going to be a coach. Is that something that's in your future? I mean, are you very passionate about that? Is that something that you think you could do? Not all Olympians are good coaches.
And the funny thing you said is that's where I'm at right now, track practice. So I'm a high school track and field coach where the school that I graduated from. So this is my second year here, and we're gearing up for regionals, which is on Saturday. So my first year here, last year I had a state champion in the long jump, state champion in the high jump. Also my athlete got second in the triple jump, and then we had a second place in the 400. And this year we're looking for better results. We were young last year, and now we're still young, but we brought back a lot more people. So we're looking to have a better run this year.
Well,
Make
I'm
some
an hour down the street and
wins.
I'm in Orange County. I'm just saying we can work out something. Okay, then I'm gonna have to find you at some CIF prelims and finals and state for sure. We'll make sure I say what's up. All right, let me ask you this because now you've been at such the highest level that there is. You know what it took for you to be successful. You knew what worked for you if you had to work on speed or bounding or plyometrics or let's whatever, right? What about high school kids? What have you found is something that you see is that, okay, well, these high school kids need more speed than they need to penultimate step work. I mean, is that different per athlete, or is that something you universally are finding with being a coach now?
I will say I work more with my kids. So every one of my kids here, besides throws, can run a 400. So
Oh my gosh,
that's how I build
that's
my
the clip.
base.
I'm sending that out to the world. Everyone's going to hear that.
Yes, every last one. My jumper that runs state is also on the 4x4. So I train them for endurance, and then we work on speed. And we don't jump as much. When I was a professional athlete, I jumped once a week. I was more so doing, the run throughs, have a jump day, have a rest day, have a plyometric day, run some of those days to on speed days. But we just didn't sit there and just jump, jump, jump. And what I've learned in high school, these kids think that's what they're supposed to do. Jump, 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 or hurdle, hurdle, hurdle. Like they want to just focus on that one thing. But I'm telling them, like, when we get to, like, right now, we're heading to regionals, you got six attempts, and you want to be able to. And in high school, you always run more than one event. So, like I said, my best long jumper is also on the 4x2, 4x4. She can throw a shot put, she can triple jump, she can do all that. You got to be able to have endurance for that. So that's why I train them for the 400. Because you have to have endurance to be able to do multiple things and be successful in all those things. So we don't just sit here and jump, jump, jump. We have our jump days maybe once or twice, but it's never nothing too serious. We don't get in the sand as much. I make them jump on a high jump mat for safe landing. We do the bounding and all that stuff on the turf and things like that, but never just sitting here just focusing on one event.
Well, every high school coach in America is not going to be listening to this saying, amen. Thank you. Thank you for saying this. You mentioned mental, I mean, there's no event that I can think of where it takes one jump. You have three fouls. You didn't get it done. You need to get to the finals. And Brittany, you're always in the finals. You're always running and jumping in the Olympics. You're getting silver, you're getting gold. You always found a way, no matter what your rank was in the world at that time, you found a way to get it done. That's what's so special about you. So, what are you mentally going through? How do you mentally stay so strong, resolved, tough, resolute to get it done when you need to?
I think I hate losing. Let's just start there. I never was that type of athlete that if I lost, I took it personally. And if I lost, it was because I made myself lose. Like I put myself in that position to lose. I made some kind of mistake or something like that, but I've always owned up to it and went back and watched film on it. But what I've learned over the years, I've also had a mental coach starting around 2014 onto my rest of my career. I had a mental coach. And there was times where I was thinking about retiring early, things like that after injury that I had in 2013. I was contemplating retiring and things like that. And she just put me in the mindset of, it's not you wanting to retire, it's more so that you just hate losing and you just lost that love, that passion, that inner beast that you needed to bring out in order to get back on the podium and stay in the finals. It just was about me. That's why they said I was Reese the Beast, because I knew how to bring it out when I needed to bring it out. So it just, yeah, it was, I just have a strong mental game to where I just hate losing. So I'm going to do whatever it takes on that day to get in the final.
No matter what, no matter if you're like too far in front of the board, if you're too behind the board, it's like, hey, yeah. I'm going to jump.
I mean, I remember at the time, I can't remember what meet it was. I was in 12th place, the last person to even get in to the meet. I mean, get into the final, and ended up winning the final. So, it's just how the ball rolls. And it's luckily that long jump, we get 6 chances to get it right. Sometimes it happens on the first, but for me, just always the last jump. But unfortunately, you get 6 tries. That's the beauty of that event.
How important is visualization to you as a long jumper?
You can ask Jeremy Fitcher, who is my coach in California. Before every practice, I'm one of the first people out there. I'm walking through my long jump approach. Walk the entire track up and down, visualizing and we started implementing that, and he started implementing that to other athletes also. But I would walk my approach on the turf, on the grass, at least 10, 15 times. And I make my athletes do it here too. You have to see yourself on the runway, visualize yourself on the runway to know when it's good to take off. And I've taught my kids how to, we don't necessarily count our steps, but they know the drive, the push, the drive, the push, all that. They know when to get up right, when to get ready and set for your penultimate. Because I had to teach them early, because you're going to learn it in college. But they know all it. They know all the terminology. So that's kind of what I've learned. I kind of put it in them for them also. But visualization is really important. And the sooner you learn it, the better you are.
That's really interesting. You're affirming some of the things that I want to do next week and should be doing already. So I appreciate that. A lot of coaches are going to. I just can't help but think that there's been all these great memorable moments that you've had from high school to at Ole Miss and then beyond. I mean, is there things that stick out to you? I know you keep the highs and the lows. That's a track and field curse. Is that with scars we carry with us? But, what are some of those memorable moments you're like, I'll never forget that the rest of my life?
I'll say winning a gold, Olympic gold medal, is because in 2008, I went through a lot in 2008, as far as like, it was my first Olympics, first time really being on that kind of, well, it was my second time being on that stage, but the first time I was on that stage, I was in college, I didn't really know what to expect. But the second year, my second team I made, the Olympic team, I had some expectations, and I didn't succeed on those expectations, and that would kind of put me in that position to where I got 4 years to get this right. I changed my diet. I lifted more. I got faster. I did anything that I felt that I needed in order to win that gold medal. And it was not more so the moment, but it was the process that I will always remember. And I started goal writing. I started putting things on my on my mirror in the morning, just doing affirmations, just doing anything I could think of that I felt that could help me succeed. And when it happened, that's what I remember, the memory of being on the podium and things like that. But I always cherish the journey that I had to get to where I was, to that stage.
When you have different coaches and different styles and the way they communicate, mm-hmm. Is there anything that you've noticed throughout the different, I mean, you've had really good coaches. I mean,
yes,
it's hard to
I
sit
did.
down and say one is better than the other because they all got you in different places and got
Exactly.
the best out of you. But what is it about the style of communication or even the way that they approach in competition, like when they're coaching, what are some of those things that we as coaches and as fans can glean from, learn from that you've already experienced? Is that something like, hey, during competition, my coach isn't freaking out. He's not saying, move back three steps, you know, and freaking out. Like, what is it about some of this coaches and the coaching style that you've seen that have been so beneficial?
I will say my coaching style, the way that I grew up, I had different, like you said, I had different coaches, but one coach was quiet and one, well, I would say both of them was kind of quiet because I kind of got to where when I was in my college stage and before I won the Olympics and things, well, after I won the Olympics, my first coach, he was never stressed out. Like, he was just you move back, you okay? Like, it was always a calm thing. But when I left him and he retired and I moved on, I got a more animated coach and who, I mean, they both loved the sport, but he was a younger guy. And he was more animated to where jumping a good jump. He's excited. Like, he's jumping up down with me. I remember one time it was in Doha, and I felt like he went off on me. Like, it was one of those moments where I think it was that same meet I was telling you about where I got 12th. And it was the first time that he ever, like, cussed me out. And I was like, I'm grown. And we're about, and me and him are, like, 10 years apart. And he, like, kind of, like, really went off on me. And I was like, you know what? You right. So his style was a little bit more different than the other ones. But the way I coach here, I'm calm. I'm the cool coach. Like, one of my athletes has a foul problem that, like, we corrected this year. But last year she had a foul problem. And to where it almost cost her to go to state. And I just told her, relax, you know. Go back and relax and do the exact same thing that you did. And we was able to, you know, win it. But I don't think yelling, putting that much pressure on kids, because I wasn't yelled at like that. All my coaches was calm and, oh, you got to just move back, things like that. But everybody, it works for different. I guess you have to find that kind of athlete that it varies. Like, some of my athletes are hard headed out here and, you know, I got to really go off on them. And the versus, it's mainly the boys, but versus the girls, I don't have to really say too much.
We know the girls are, just say, the girls are a little tougher than the boys, especially high school.
Yeah, they really are. It's crazy. I have no problem with my girls, but the boys, they give me a headache. Mm-hmm. But I love them dearly because they'll run through a brick wall. If you just show them some respect, they'll show you the same respect back.
Absolutely. Man, those kids are very lucky to have you. It's really fun to hear about one of the most decorated American long jumpers of all time who's still raking a pit at the high school level, trying to make sure the level, the sand is level. Because most of the time it's not.
I don't need nobody getting hurt.
Do you typically have your athletes start at a full approach first meet? Do you work them into that? What do you do when you're talking about getting the athletes ready for when it's regionals versus it's the first dual meet of the season? And the same for you. I mean, were you always from a full approach, even when you were trying to get, it's an Olympic year?
So for me, I always started at a shorter approach because I would, indoor season, I really didn't jump unless there was like a world championship or anything like that. And then from then on, I really wasn't full approach indoor at all, to be honest. I just was working on my speed and working on things like that. So I didn't really start getting full approach until outdoor season. Now my kids, because the track season is shorter, we automatically start at 100 feet and we learned the three different steps of the long jump. Now my state champion, she's like 100 and I don't know, like 10 or 15, like something like that. Cause she knows she's all track and field. So she understands why, versus I have a ninth grader right now who is his first year learning under me and the concept. So he's just straight at 100 feet right now and it works for him. So we won't move I will probably move him back next year because now he knows the full steps of what to do. I only just had him long jump. I didn't have him triple jump at all this year because he don't even know how to bound right. So we didn't even tackle that this year. I would rather tackle that the upcoming years for him since he's only in the ninth grade.
Well, I promise you, it wouldn't take tons of your time, and it's so hard not to talk to you forever because you're so you have so much wealth of knowledge. You know, especially it being an Olympic year, does America have anything that we need from you besides you being at Eugene and walking through that process? I mean, there's got to be people calling you for advice. I mean, what does it look like for you now that you're in this different stage of your career?
Yeah, I've talked to a couple of athletes for advice. They needed some advice. And I remember being that athlete growing up. And basically, anything I can do to help, especially like creating opportunities for the next generation and financially being a mentor, things like that, I'm all for it because I want the sport to grow. And I want learning that this year that track and field is the most participated sports and things like that right now. In the United States is huge for us. So just being able to, for me to be able to create opportunities, which is why I joined with Tracktown, trying to find ways to help athletes that don't have, you know, gear and things like that, and that don't get that opportunity to sign with Nike, because we have an athlete that's in the United States right now that got second at indoor, if I'm not mistaken, second or third, and she's not sponsored by anybody. So, you know, just trying to find ways to grow the sport. And that's what it's all about right now for me.
Can't thank you enough. How can we follow more about you? I know you have social media because I said I follow it, but
yeah,
you know, tell the audience where we can follow more about you and your thoughts and especially the stuff that you're doing with Eugene.
Yeah. So you can follow me on, it's not Twitter anymore, I guess you want to say X, at the LJ Beast. And then, I'm on Instagram, the LJ Beast, and there'll be more announcements on some other stuff coming up. So,
okay, well, definitely I'll tag you in all social media. And speaking of social media, listen in just for a second. You can listen to the CEO of OnTrackField.com, Steve Ringgold, and his beautiful, sexy voice. He'll let you know how to get in contact with them on social medias and RelayBatons.com. It's just as a gift. We're going to send Brittany a kind of like a personalized mug that's going to be engraved so she can keep all her beverages hot while she's coaching. Ooh, and trying to rake pits. Nice. And make sure that everything's done right at these track meets. But coach, we appreciate you. We're so grateful that we had a chance to talk to you. And I know our audience is really grateful for all the wisdom that you shared. And man, we're all huge fans. So thank you for what you've done for the last four Olympics and seven world championships on behalf of the United States. We're really proud and glad that you're continuing to make this sport the best sport that there is. I mean, everyone agrees. So now we got to get the United States to start agreeing with that.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much, Brittany.
Thanks for listening to this week's On Track and Field podcast with guest, Olympic gold medalist Brittany Reese. The On Track and Field podcast is powered by RelayBatons.com, custom engraved meat and competition legal relay batons, water bottles and tumblers, great for team branding, fundraisers, meet awards, and coaches' gifts. And by OnTrackandField.com, the source for all things track and field and cross country related, competition gear, spikes, training equipment, and shoes. OnTrackandField.com has everything you need, including our new pole vault and high jump landing systems designed by jumpers for jumpers. Check them out online or give us a call for a free quote. And make sure to check out our new website, OnTrackRunning.com, your new source for competition and training shoes, featuring Saucony, Brooks, On Running, New Balance, Asics, and Hoka shoes and spikes. OnTrackRunning.com. And make sure to follow us on our socials at OnTrack, the letter N, Field, at OnTrackAndField on Twitter and Instagram.